I want to thank Bo for his kind words and know of my affections for you and Rachel as well and your growing family. Do you want to hear something funny? I'm speaking about staying focused, and I forgot my Bible this morning. So that's why I'm late. So I'm already making life application of what I'm about to say. If you could indulge me before we look at some verses. I am the president of the Canadian Southern Baptist Seminary and College, and this weekend is a really important weekend in the life of our school. God had put together an extraordinary event called No Greater Love. It's the third year that it's happening in the Calgary area. It's now the largest Christian music festival in Canada. It's the only one that's underwritten by those huge Christian music festivals that you hear of in the state, like Sunfest and etc. I only say that to say we had 2 months to the partnership between No Greater Love and our campus really came together two and a half months ago. And a couple of things I will tell you. I've been involved in too many block parties, too many church events that are outside to think it's a coincidence that when you pray for God to change weather patterns, that it's the weather patterns are changed. And yesterday, if you were looking on Doppler, which we were, you could literally see a trough over our campus. Every weather system that was coming our way, and it was supposed to rain a lot, got pushed away. The only rain we got was later in the evening when Zach Williams and 10th Avenue North were playing. And you know what? We thank God for that because it actually calmed down all the dust. God did some amazing things yesterday, and today, again, we're going to have several groups out on campus. I'll head straight there after service. Would you pray? I mean, we have 6,000 people on our campus. And I believe that when God gave, 31 years ago, he gave that property to our school to use for training God-called men and women for 21st century leadership in tough places. And only God could know that 31 years later, 3 decades later, he would intend to use those acres to house such an incredible event. Here's what I've observed. All of this is not the sermon, but here's what I observed. Everybody's dressed in shorts and jeans and t-shirts, and nobody actually is wearing their denominational badge, right? So you can't tell who's who. You can't tell what church people go to. All you know is that these are people who are here because they love Jesus and they want to raise up their voices together. And God's doing an amazing work. We've seen people actually place their faith in Jesus Christ yesterday. We've seen lots of people get some priorities straight. And so now let's talk about staying focused, because despite my sojourn here this morning, that's my goal in life too, is to stay focused. I spend quite a bit of time in Nashville, Tennessee. That's where my wife is right now with our kids, at least two, our boys, taking care of her dad, and so I'm down in Nashville quite a bit. There's a major intersection. If you've ever been to Nashville, and I'm not assuming anybody has, there's a major intersection on I-65, comes right through the downtown core of Nashville, and a major artery that runs into the core off of that interstate is called Rosa Parks. About 2 years ago, I had a reason to get onto Rosa Parks Boulevard. And so I had exited. It's a 3-lane exit to a stoplight. And as I'm coming up to the stoplight that's going to lead to an overpass over the interstate, there is this man standing there. He's precarious. He's standing there right at the corner where literally hundreds of cars are streaming by the minute. And he is feverishly counting cars. Like, you can just see the anxiety on his face as he's sweating in the hot summer heat, and he's just counting these cars. And it's like, if I miss a car, my life is going to be a complete disaster. I've failed at the task. And I'm sitting there in this car. I can't get out because traffic is moving quickly. All I can think of, though, is who told him that his job was to count all these cars? Like, who placed this anxiety on his life that he had to get on that street corner and calculate how many cars? He didn't have a government vehicle. He didn't have a pad. He was actually likely homeless, and he's standing there sweating as he's counting these cars. And my thought was, I think it was from the Lord, Rob, how much of your life is wasted doing something I never asked you to do? And you're full of anxiety, and you're trying to count cars, and that's not the task that I've actually given you. Stay focused. Francis Chan, if you're familiar with him, he's a great Christian artist, author and speaker, but Francis Chan made a statement in his book, Crazy Love. It says, our greatest fear should not be of failure, but of succeeding at things in life that don't really matter. Isn't that a powerful statement? Our greatest fear should not be of failure, but of succeeding at things in life that don't really matter. Stay focused. Spend your time and energy on things of eternal value. I was raised in Vancouver, British Columbia. What you need to know about that is just lots of shoreline, lots of heavy sand mixed with clay. So it was perfect for sandcastles. And we'd go down to the beaches of Vancouver at low tide, and we'd take our buckets and our shovels, and maybe you had a similar experience on the West Coast or somewhere else, and we would make these sandcastles, especially my younger brother and I. We'd make all these sandcastles, and we would think that they would stand for all time, wouldn't we? And then all of a sudden, the tide starts creeping in. And what happens? Well, you build a moat, of course. You feverishly dig and dig and dig to try to divert the water from your sandcastle because somehow you believe that you can save your sandcastle from certain ruin as feet of water start to encroach. But ultimately, you resign yourself to the fact that this sandcastle wasn't built forever. A lot of times in my life, I'm just building sandcastles, trying to ward off an encroaching tide. And God says, Rob, I never asked you to do that. You know, Jesus has a story about that, doesn't he? Building a house on the sand. So I want to talk about staying focused. How do we clear away obstacles or distractions, be undeterred, intentional, committed to a clearly defined, understood course of action? Can I tell you one more story? I fly a lot right now. And when Memphis Airport was still being used pretty heavily, I was flying through the Memphis Airport, and I was at the very far gate of Terminal A, and I had to get to the very far gate of Terminal B. And coming out of Houston, we were delayed, and so I had a matter of minutes. My plane was already boarded, and I knew that they were going to be calling last entries, and I had to get there. I wasn't alone. This body is no longer built for speed. So I was pushing. You know, you start feeling your calves burn. You just think, I'm burning calories. I'm getting my 10,000 steps for the day. And I'm moving through this airport thinking, I've got to get to the gate, you know. I get to the gate, and it's like the gate agent is waiting for me and several others who are not quite as motivated. And I get on the plane. I'm dripping sweat because it is Memphis, and it is always hot. And I take a seat, and I'm starting to wipe my brow, and here comes this young guy, a lot more fit than I am, and he sits in the seat right behind me. I'm thinking, I plowed the way for him. And he sits down, and so now the door is shut, everybody's on board, and he leans over, and he taps me on the shoulder. He goes, Mister. I'm like, yes. He goes, you are moving. I'm like, I know, because I was focused. You know, I got to get from point A to point B. I think there's something biblical about that in our life, that somehow I've got to stay focused and make clear and intentional progress towards the end game, the end goal. So let's look at Proverbs chapter 4 together. I said we were going to start reading at verse 25, but I think I'm going to back it up to verse 23. These are Proverbs. I'm not adding a lot of verses. This is what the writer of Proverbs says, starting in verse 23. Guard your heart above all else, for it is the source of life. Actually, Jesus refers to this, doesn't he? Out of the overflow, the mouth speaks. Verse 24 says, don't let your mouth speak dishonestly, and don't let your lips talk deviously. Let your eyes look forward. Fix your gaze straight ahead. Carefully consider the path for your feet, and all your ways will be established. Don't turn to the right or to the left. Keep your feet away from evil. Here's what I love about Proverbs is you don't have to go, what does this mean? You ever notice that? Proverbs is common sense, spiritual application. So he's, let your eyes look forward, fix your gaze straight ahead, carefully consider the path for your feet, and all your ways will be established. Don't turn to the right or to the left. Keep your feet away from evil. So I want to just dissect these verses. And when I get done, you could probably say, Rob, there's some things that I wish you would have said. And I'd say, you know what? You're right. These verses are short, but they're so full, and I can't be exhaustive. I just want to make 2 points. But I think all of this is saying there's a succession of steps in life by which vision becomes reality. It doesn't happen accidentally. It'll demand adjustments in our life, because when we're obeying God, it always requires adjustments in our life. It'll be inconvenient. It'll be uncomfortable. It will assume that there has to be some practical planning. If this is the case, then I'm going to have to do X, Y, Z. Our feet will walk according to the condition of our hearts. So the first thing I'd say in verse 25 is focus. When I don't know if any of you saw my sons this summer. They were up here. Our oldest son was working for the summer, John. If you saw him, you recognized immediately that he's not a little boy anymore. He's like 6'5". But if we could roll the clock back to when he was a toddler, he was a very serious toddler. But he could get distracted. And I would say to him, I don't know where it came from, but my mannerism with John was if he would get distracted, if he wasn't listening to me, I would hold his cheeks and I would say, John, focus. So it was one day after church, and I'm holding John in my arms, and John's trying to tell me something that for him was profoundly important, and I am distracted. People are talking to me, I have got things to do, and I'm just carrying John with me as he's trying to get my attention, and suddenly this toddler reaches over with his chubby little hands. You had to know John. And he holds my cheeks, and he looks me eye to eye, and he goes, Daddy, focus. Right. I think God does that to us. Yeah, I think God takes us gently by the cheeks and says, child, focus. You're getting distracted. You're getting worried. Matter of fact, Jesus talks about that too, doesn't he? Doesn't he look at one of his best friends and say, you're worried about a great many things, but you should be focused on just one thing. Our eyes have to be focused on proper goals. Proverbs 17:24 says, the wise person will have an unswerving directness, but the fool is easily distracted. Ouch. I'm not just going to download tons of stories, but there is one more I've got to tell you. Because it's what I think about when I think about this verse, a fool is easily distracted. When I started dating my wife, we've been married 26 years, so roll the clock back on that one. Young 20s, we were both studying in a school in Texas. I had joined as a Canadian, I had foolishly joined the landscaping crew. So out in the heat, so here's what would happen. I was studying languages, which is not my forte. So I would stay up really late studying languages, and then I was just getting to know this wonderful woman that I was going to ultimately marry, but I was just getting, so I'd be enthralled with Joe. I'd go meet her at 10 o'clock at night after her work. We'd go for a short walk. I'd drop her off at her house, and then I would go study these languages and go to class all day the next day and then go to work. You know how it is. Maybe you've done something similar. But it caught up with me. And so sometime midweek, I'm on this power more, and I started getting sleepy. And the thing about power mores is if you keep your eyes on the distance, you'll mow a straight line. But I fell asleep. And I didn't know that I'd fallen asleep until I hit a tree. And I thought maybe nobody saw me, except that the library was right behind me, and I look at these plate glass windows, and there are these girls and boys, men and women, just clapping, like, outstanding. You know, I think in life, I sometimes fall asleep. I fall asleep at the wheel. And God says the wise person will have an unswerving directness. So the wise person is going to be awake, but the fool is easily distracted. There is another verse in the New Testament, a set of verses in Hebrews chapter 12. You think, well, what is it? Like, what's our focus? That's great. This proverb's great. And business leaders talk about vision all the time, don't they? Like, if you don't have a vision statement, you're a loser. That's not what he's talking about here, though. He's not talking about a vision statement. I think Hebrews gives us the answer. Chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, since we also have such a large crowd of witnesses surrounding us, let's lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily ensnares us. Let's run with endurance the race that lies before us, keeping our eyes on Jesus, the source and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that lay before him endured a cross and despised the shame and has sat down at the right hand of God's throne. What's the vision? Well, in what I'm doing right now, I'd say knowledge is not the vision. That's not the goal. You can go to school and you can fill your head with knowledge, and God would say, you're counting cars. You've fallen asleep at the controls, Rob. I didn't ask you to fill your head with knowledge. Knowledge is not the goal. You ever been around somebody who just wants to wow you with how much they know and who they read recently, and they are always quoting authors of books and quoting from these? You ever been around somebody like that? You just think, you know what, brother, sister, knowledge isn't the goal. Like, it's not bad, but knowledge isn't in and of itself. Knowledge is not the goal. Let me tell you what else isn't the goal. Work is not the goal. Let me tell you what else isn't the goal. Church is not the goal. Church is a means to an end, but it's not the goal. Sometimes we get really confused, and sometimes people help us get confused as if somehow the end game is a successful church. But church is a means to an end. So church isn't even the goal. What is the goal? Jesus is the goal. That's what the writer of Hebrews is saying. Jesus is the goal. He's the destination and the journey to know Him, to experience Him, and to make Him known to others. That's the focus. So verses 26 and 27, right, so that's one word. The second word is to be intentional then. Intentionality. So focus, so intentionally focused. Intentional, verses 26 to 27. I think that's what these verses are getting at, is to weigh up your course of action, examine it, search it out, and live an intentional life. I don't know how many people actually live an intentional life. Do you? Do you get to the end of a day and calculate how you spent the minutes and the hours of your day and say, God, is this been the, for your glory, has this been the best use of my time? I think most of us just let life happen to us. We don't take captive the moments and the hours. I'm far more concerned about the dollars and cents that are leaving my bank account than I am the hours that are ticking on my clock. But we know this. Our hours are far more precious to us. This has been coming back again, sobering me, because our middle child, John, that I talked about a moment ago, he's no longer a toddler. He's now a 12th grade high school student. He'll be off to college, and there goes another one. Our oldest is going into her third year of university. I'm thinking, where's time going? I remember holding these children when they were small, and I'm not regretting the passing of time. I'm just sober about it. And I would confess to you, you'd probably confess to me, not every moment of every day has been intentional as my kids have been growing up, but I do look back and say, God, I thank you for those days, those weeks, where you impressed on my heart intentional actions with my kids, because that's the memory they now have of their childhood. I don't have a redo. You don't reboot. How are we being intentional? Even more profound, what about our relationship with Christ? What about our walk with Jesus? You know, our days, our hours, they slip away. And at the end of the day, do I say, am I closer to Christ because of how I walked with Him today? Be intentional. Verse 26 says, carefully consider the path for your feet and all your ways will be established. What that means for me is carefully prepare the way by removing anything that's going to prevent unhindered progress or make my way insecure. Give Jesus access to my past. Give Jesus access to my pain. Give Jesus access to my disappointment. Give Jesus access to my dreams, my hopes, my ambitions. We got to remove anything that will become a moral hindrance or a dangerous obstacle in our lives and our life course so that we can make spiritual progress. On my first trip here this morning, I thought this would make a great illustration, and then I forgot my Bible, and that was an even better illustration. But on my first trip here this morning, you've had this. I look in the rearview mirror, and what do I see? Is lights. And I think, oh, that's not a problem. You know, I'm in the right-hand lane. This is the left-hand lane. This person's going somewhere else. But you know what? Suddenly, I realized those lights are now in the middle lane, and they're coming close to me. And all of a sudden, I realize these lights are right behind. It's not a police officer. These lights are right behind me, and the siren and the horn is just blowing. So I pull off to the curb as this EMS vehicle just screams by me. I thought I was coming here. You know, that brother's focused. He's clearing everything out of his way to say, I have a destination that is urgent and I've got to get there. But should our focus be any less urgent? You know, should our destination be any less clear? So just a word, the big one, procrastination. This is why procrastination is spiritually deadly, is because our enemy, Satan, doesn't have to convince us to disobey the Lord. Right? He doesn't have to outright convince us not to do what God wants us to do. He just has to convince us to do it tomorrow rather than today. So for me, delayed obedience is disobedience. If the God of the universe has put his hand on my heart and says, Rob, I need you to do this, I need you to make this adjustment, what could be important enough for me to delay that? Satan will whisper 100 things, but God would say nothing. Nothing's more important. Be intentional. Verse 27 reminds me of my favorite verse in the Bible altogether, which is Isaiah 30, verse 21. I'm sorry. Don't turn to the right or the left, but keep your eyes away from evil. Keep your feet away from evil. Isaiah 30:21 says, in that day your teacher won't be hidden from you anymore. And if you want to go left or right, you'll hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. You know what that told me as a young man? I'd never end up in a ditch by accident. I was worrying about, okay, God, but what if I do something that doesn't please you? And the promise from that verse for me is, Rob, if you're focused on me, if you're intentional with me, I will personally make sure you don't go left or right. Now, if you're not focused on me, you'll end up in a ditch 9 times out of 10. But if you're focused on me, you'll hear a teacher behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. It's not the only place. Deuteronomy 5:32, Deuteronomy 17:11, Deuteronomy 28:14, Joshua 23:6. All these verses talk about don't go left or right, but stay on the course that God set for you. So as I draw this to a close, here are the big ideas. Every single one of us, you've heard me say this before, every single one of us is involved in a sequence of choices. I am today a result of the choices that I made yesterday. So are you. We're all of us involved in a sequence of choices, and those choices are making it more likely that I'll follow Christ or less likely that I'll follow Christ. They're saying these sequence of choices that I'm in will make it more likely that I'll obey him or less likely. Now, here's the beauty. In Jesus, there's always, as far as sequences of choices, there's always the chance to start a brand new sequence leading to obedience. So you don't scratch your head and think, oh my goodness, look at where I'm at. Praise God. Praise God he showed you where you're at. You can now start a new sequence of choices. But we are in a sequence of choices, and there's a lie out there that my decisions don't affect me. Like, they're siloed. I make a decision, but it really doesn't have any connection. But we know this. The things I do at work affect my home life. The things I do in the privacy of the night affect my home life. Oh, and by the way, my work. And oh, by the way, above everything else, my walk with the Lord. So I'm involved in a sequence of choices. Is how I'm treating my wife, making it more or less likely that I will adore her, have more affection for her tomorrow. And the way I'm treating my children, will it make it more or less likely that they'll heed the instruction of their dad or their mom? That's the first big idea. The second is don't be distracted. Maybe you're sitting here this morning and God's already laid out for you, here's an area of your life where you're being grossly distracted. Get it out of your life. I think a lot of times in church service, God puts his finger on us because we're still and we're listening, and God puts his finger on an area of our life, and we say, God, I'm going to do something about that later. I feel it. You're right. I'm going to change. No. Today's the day. Right now is the time to say, God, I don't have the power to get that out of my life. Can you help? Could you show me how to do that? And here's a hint. We've all developed habits in our life that make repeated actions probable. So you got to change your habits. You know, if you're wasting hours of the night watching YouTube or playing video games, it is not likely for you to go back to bed tonight with the same things in your hand and expect that you won't be suddenly tempted like a drug addict to turn that sucker on. You got to change your habits. Don't take your computer to bed. Don't have the TV in the same room where you're sleeping. You just change your habits because you'll be more rested tomorrow. You get what I'm saying? So don't be distracted, and then beware of indirect paths. Just think somehow this is the most direct way to the Lord, but I'm going to create, I think there's a dirt road that I can take. There's not. There's just not. You got to stay focused on Jesus. So here are the big ideas. Maintain the simplicity of your walk with God. Make it your habit to make immediate application of any biblical reality that he shows you. Harness a responsive mood to your will. To say, God, I'm going to act. Whatever you tell me to do, I'm going to act. And stay focused. Fight for it. Your family needs it. Your church needs it. Chiefly, Jesus says, if you'll stay focused, I'll change the world through this person, through this church, and my kingdom will extend. Well, I want to pray, but before I do that, you may not be focused. And before you leave here, you want to get focused again. And your pastor wants to help you do that. Just grab him and say, Bo, God showed me this. I want accountability. I've got to get this distraction out of my life. I need to get this habit out of my life. I want to fight for focus. Focus is hard work. It's daily. It's intentional, but I want to fight for it. And so, grab your pastor and just say, would you pray with me? Would you talk to me? You're here this morning and you think, God, I am focused. I am in a sequence of choices that is leading me towards more and more intimate relationship with you and more and more immediate obedience. And I'd say, then stay there. Ask God to make you profoundly sensitive to any distraction that might creep into your life and root it out immediately. Because where our heart is focused, our feet will walk. And I want to walk towards Christ. And I know you do too. Let's pray. Father, thank you for just the simplicity of these proverbs. These verses could have been written this morning for us in 2018. Your word is like a treasure chest, and these verses are jewels that speak directly to how we're living our life in this culture at this time. And we want to be focused. Where there is distraction, would you give us clarity this morning so that we could break those habits in the power of your Holy Spirit and make spiritual progresses in those areas of our life? And we claim your promise, if we're going to the left or to the right, that you will say to us, this is the way, walk in it. In Jesus Christ's name we pray.